Okay, Kyle, thank you. I am honored to be sitting here with Dick Enberg, the play-by-play voice for the Padres, who was recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. First of all, congratulations. Such an honor. No one doubts that you deserve it. What did it feel like up on that stage in Cooperstown?
Well, the whole weekend simply was the greatest weekend of my entire life. I can't exaggerate any more than that, and it's felt deep down in my soul. I love baseball. It's in my DNA. It's the game that we all enjoy, its beauty, and it's part of Americana. I've wanted to be a ball player from the time I could say baseball, and didn't quite live up to my dreams, but as I said in my speech, my dreams took me to a terrific place that I was able to get to Cooperstown, riding on the Ford Frick Award. Everyone was so gracious there. I think the biggest surprise of all was the fact that, you know, the Frick Award and the Spink Award are honorees. Aren't inductees, and they made that clear. So when we arrived at all the press conferences and where all the all-stars and greatest in the history of the game were located, I thought I'd be treated like a second citizen, but I wasn't. One bear hug after another. You know, Johnny Bench was the first, gave me a big hug. Welcome, Hall of Famer. So we were treated royally.
How does it feel to be there with Johnny Bench and all of these legends and know that your name now belongs with them?
Well, it belongs in a different wing from all the rest of them. They're the real Hall of Famers. But, yeah, I'm still a fan after all of these years. And at age 80, I still am awed by those that do something very well, whether it's an artist or a musician or, in this case, a great baseball player. And for them to acknowledge me by name was a thrill enough. And it brought back a lot of memories. It's been, you know, I've been doing this for 60 years, baseball for 50, and off and on. And to be able to see those that I tried to describe carefully and correctly in good reportage, and then to be treated like one of the family was really nice. I have never felt, and because my family was there, including a daughter and my first grandson from London, I've never felt so much love in my entire life. And I think it's a lesson to all sportscasters that, you know, we don't see our audience. We just work with a few people in the booth. But there's so many out there that listen to us or watch us that really care. That really took me deepest into my soul, that so many have expressed how much they care about my receiving this award.
You started off your speech with your famous "Oh my," and you could tell you got a little emotional at first. How hard was it to keep your emotions under control?
Well, I'm really an emotional person. We go to movies, and my wife is hitting me with her elbow. Now, what are you sobbing about, or what are you getting teary about? And so I tried to practice my speech as much as I could so that I would know it and yet not feel it quite so much. And I knew where the traps were. Most of them were at the end of the speech where I wrote my love letter to baseball, why I love the game. And I didn't think there'd be anything early, but Tom Gage preceded me, the Spink Award winner, and I was so moved by his speech. It was such a beautifully delivered and written speech that I was, and then Joe Morgan presents me, and poor Joe can barely walk, and I saw him in the hotel, and he apologized that he wasn't going to be able to introduce me, but being the gamer that he is, he was there in pain to be able to serve that role. And so the combination of Joe and Tom Gage's speech, I was emotional before I said, "Oh my." And so I had to catch myself, and I've learned a long time ago, if you can quickly go to something that's humorous, then it gets your heart in a better place, and you don't make a fool of yourself. But had I been giving that speech for the very first time and not have practiced it, and under the circumstances, I never would have made it through.
You said you had your family, your grandson there. Who else from your past that was memorable that you were surprised to see or excited to see showed up to support you?
Well, it wasn't just the people that were there to support me. I mean, there were friends and family and the ball, but, you know, that Hall of Fame cast behind you certainly is quite an audience. But it was also paying tribute to those with whom I had worked. I worked with the Angels with Don Drysdale, a great friend, and he's gone. Tony Gwynn, Mr. Padre, worked with him when I joined the Padres television crew. He's gone. Jerry Coleman, the Colonel, one of the great Americans of all time, He's gone, but their names are all there. So I felt the presence of people that I really care about. Tom Seaver, he came back to Cooperstown. He said, I wasn't intending to return this year. He's not feeling well. He has the effects of Lyme's disease. I know very little bit about it, but it affects your memory, and it's really a terrible but uncommon disease. But he said, hey, Enberg, you're going to be there. I want to be there to shake your hand. So that those kinds of loving expressions from so many are, when you add them all up, it was an avalanche. And I'll look upon that weekend, last weekend, as truly the best of my life.
One of the other legends in baseball announcing, Vince Scully, reached out to you once it had been announced that you had won. What did he say to you?
Well, I used that because when they announced it in San Diego that I had won the Frick Award in November, I got a call from Scully just after the announcement because I was terribly emotional at the time. I really broke down when I heard the news. It was beyond belief. I really didn't think I had a chance. 1 out of 10, and there were so many others I felt were more deserving than I. I mean, baseball lifers. I'm not a baseball lifer. I've over 20 years in baseball, but there's been everything from Wimbledon to basketball championships and Super Bowls and Olympics. So I figured, well, that's going to count against me because it's not been baseball from day one. So I just I lost it when the call came through from Jeff Idelson, the president of the Hall of Fame. And an hour and 15 minutes later, I was meeting the press at the winter meetings. And that's when Scully called and said, hey, Enberg, no crying at Cooperstown. So I leaned on that when I started to get a little choked up at the very start of my speech. So I thank Scully, who is the master. He's the poet laureate of our profession. And he gave me a helping hand, not even knowing that that's what would materialize.
You've mentioned all of the other things you've done over the years. It's unbelievable the range of different sports you've covered. Did you ever imagine when you first started out that this is where your career would end up?
Oh, no. I always wanted to be the athlete. I wanted to be the person that the announcers were talking about in the arena, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, tennis. But baseball was my best game, and I tried to play it, and I coached it in college. I was an assistant baseball coach, and my mother teethed me on a miniature baseball bat. I have a picture in diapers with a glove and a baseball bat and a ball. So I really had no choice. Once baseball is in your soul, it's there forever, and it feels good, and it comes out, I hope, in my broadcasting of each game, that the love of the game is expressed so that people who feel the way I do, who are watching the game, hoping, in our case, the Padres win, but more than that, hoping that they'll be able to experience another beautiful game. Because this game truly allows you, with its pace and its rhythm, it gives us all an opportunity to really embrace all of its charm and all of its beauty. And I feel it. I hope my audience understands that.
Your career, as you said, has been 6 decades, and you've covered such a variety. Besides baseball, is there anything, any game, any match, anything in particular you are extremely proud of? You think your best performance or something you are so happy you were part of to announce?
Well, that's a tough question because we could go another half hour. There have been so many wonderful opportunities, and I've been privileged to be at some major events. But just to boil it down to baseball, and I mentioned that in my speech, of all the sports, there just is nothing as delicious as calling a no-hit, no-run game. I mean, football can have a long drive or a great pass, or basketball can have a frenetic back and forth. Tennis can have a wonderful rally. But baseball, when you see all those zeros up there in the seventh inning, and you know there's another 45 minutes to go, and each movement in the infield, the dugout, everything subtle becomes important, and the fans know, and they edge up on their seats, and we're on the edge, and then to get to the eighth inning, and it grow to the ninth, and it may not culminate in the no-hitter, but when it does, it is the most exciting opportunity as a sportscaster that I've ever had. And I've been lucky to call nine, and each one, it's like having babies, you know, every child, it's a miracle experience, and you can enjoy that as a father in a way, to be part of the people in the operation room, if you will, to continue that is just better than anything else I've done. I mean, I've called some important events, football, you know, and basketball, and the Indiana State, Michigan State, and the UCLA Houston game in the Astrodome, and you know, football, the drive with Elway, and the last Super Bowl that he played, and winning finally the AFC, winning a championship, and the Olympics, and Wimbledon, of course, and all of those. But when you have to say one opportunity that is the most interesting, challenging, exciting opportunity as a broadcaster, sports broadcaster, it's the no-hit game. And I'm long-winded, and I'm a former professor, and I talk to the bell rings, so I apologize for that.
One more question. You're 80. No one would know. Where do you go from here? Is there something that you want to do now that you're a baseball legend? Is there one thing that you want to do?
Not really in broadcasting. I'd like to continue with the Padres as long as they want me. It's going to be an exciting year for us next year because San Diego has the All-Star game, and, of course, Miami has it the year after. So there'll be so many activities and terrific events that will surround the All-Star game. So it's going to be a very important year for the Padres, and I want to be part of that. But, you know, away from baseball, I taught for 6 years. I love to be in the classroom. There's nothing more exciting than the challenge of a raised hand. I've had some opportunities to go back as a visiting professor. If I did that, it would force me to write another book, and I'd kind of like to do that. There's a lot of things left unsaid in my first one. Then, you know, hopefully, I have six children. One has passed, but now finally, little Archie, my first grandchild, I'm hoping that my other children will get interested in that process, and that I'll have more grandkids, and I'd like that chance to have. Everyone says, and it's true, that there's something very different about being a grandparent. You can do all the spoiling and all the loving and throw them all the candy they want and then hand them off to their parents, and it's their problem, and I'm looking forward to that. And travel, my wife and I love to travel. So the plate will be very full, and hopefully I'll always have a place, you know, however minor it may be with the Padres. I'd like to be able to think that I can go 5, 10 years from now to any San Diego game and be in the press box or in the broadcast area, and people won't say, well, now what the heck is Enberg doing here? But they actually would want me around. And again, another long answer.
Dick, thank you so much. It's been an honor. Kyle, back to you.